Everyone may kindly fold their hands like this as we recite together briefly invocation. You can repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukham karoti vacharam pangam langayate kirim yakripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinataranam yakripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinataranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare
Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama. Hare Hare. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Hari Bol. Thank you. So I'm very happy to get the opportunity to be here and to visit this temple in its present and new structure for the first time. I was here many years ago when it was different. Now it's by Krishna's mercy and by especially your local leaders' inspiration and direction, His grace, Hari Vilas Prabhu, and so many devotees who are part of this community have made this possible. Srila Prabhupada had, as we all know, anyone who has come in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and read Srila Prabhupada's books can begin to understand the kind of vision, isn't it? The vision, we could say global vision, that Srila Prabhupada had in wanting to introduce the Harinam Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in the spirit of Lord Chaitanya to actually completely flood the entire planet with the holy name and so many things that are connected with the holy name. Actually, everything is connected with the holy name. Everything begins with the holy name and everything ends with the holy name, because the holy name is Krishna, not different. So everything begins with Krishna and everything ends with Krishna as well. This evening I chose an interesting purport from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I wanted to share with you. That's assuming I find my glasses, which I left somewhere. Oh, okay. Thank you. And I'm just coming from, this afternoon, from the small farm. How many here have gone to see the farm that is there, just not too far from here? If you are, yeah. I was very happy to to see my godbrother, Haridas Prabhu, whom I know since many years, right there in the fields with his two hands, you know, digging. And he was kind enough to give me to give us a tour of what is happening there. I just came to know a few days ago, actually, that ISKCON Seattle was favored in this way to have a piece of land where hopefully not only Haridas Prabhu, but others will take advantage of the significance, the importance and the significance of having land. In modern day life, we tend to forget. The purport I will read this evening is to help us remember. Material world, and material world, as we know, is the kingdom of Maya, isn't it? And Maya means forgetfulness. We very easily forget so many things. It is only after many, many lifetimes if we are fortunate, we will come to know that we are different from this body. We are meant to live in a different place. We are meant to be happy, not only 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but we're meant to be happy all the time, eternally happy, actually. Isn't it, Krishna? He is described as Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Isvara Paramakrishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. We also have the same, Prabhupada calls it birthright. It is our birthright. Nice term, actually. It's like those who are born in America, or in any country, whatever good things, whatever one who is born in that country will get, it's called his birthright. So we have our natural birthright is that we are meant to be eternally living in the spiritual world with Krishna and meant to be eternally always happy. We can begin to learn how to do this, actually. That's what Krishna consciousness is all about, even in the material world. Even in the material world, which is a place of misery, as we know, as Krishna describes, and as we can experience every single day as well, in different ways. So the purport, the reason I chose this purport this evening is to try and highlight something which probably those of us, means the majority of us who are living in the cities, don't think about so much, because we're too busy thinking about other things. Srila Prabhupada spoke about many things, and in so many different ways was trying to help us, to help all of us, you know, gain a deeper understanding of life, a deeper understanding of our duties and responsibilities. Human life is meant to take up responsibilities. We must be responsible. We must be responsible for the actions that we generate or that we perform every single day. And depending on how we perform those activities, we'll get some good result or some bad result, good reaction or bad reaction, isn't it? So Krishna consciousness is there to help us how to actually even rise above all of this In this eighth canto, this particular purport, which is pastime of Lord Vamanadev, Srila Prabhupada speaks a little bit about culture, which is very important. Actually, all of us, we have what is called, we have an eternal culture. We have an eternal culture on the transcendental or spiritual platform, the culture of the spirit soul. And we also have an eternal culture in the material world. In Sanskrit, it is called Swadharma. Two levels of Swadharma. Spiritual level, which is activities of bhakti, devotional service, and on the material level, material Swadharma. Just like Arjuna. Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra, his spiritual Swadharma was to actually please Krishna, isn't it? And his material Swadharma was to pick up his bow and arrow that he had dropped on the floor, on the ground. So it means we have a spiritual responsibility in terms of practicing bhakti, devotional service, on the transcendental platform, and we have a material responsibility. In modern day society, the material responsibility is often, we could say, blurred, not understood. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, he understood everything and was trying in so many ways to help us understand. Because it is only when we understand that we can, you know, act on what we know, on our understanding. So this is eighth canto. I hope we have the... Yes. Chapter 19. You might like to make a mental note of this. Text number 21. Eighth canto, chapter 19, text number 21. So I will just read the Sanskrit once and then give the translation and then we will go into the... It's not a very long purport. You can repeat after me. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yavanto Vishaya Pristhas. Trilokyam Ajitendriyam. Na Shak Nuvantite Sarve. Prati pur nitum. I'm sorry. Prati pur nitum nripam. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The personality of God had said, O my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Kindly repeat after me. The personality of God had said,
the personality of God had said,
Oh, my dear King. Even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Purport. The material world is an illusory energy. To deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. Anyone who is in this material world is extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. Actually, however, the purpose of life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, when we observe animal life, animals, isn't it? Their whole consciousness, their whole purpose, their only orientation, their only attraction is, you know, they smell. Where is food? They are completely led by their senses. They have no understanding whatsoever about self-realization, isn't it? So that's why Prabhupada speaks about, what is it in Sanskrit? Dvija, Dvija Pada Pashu. What's that expression? Yeah, two-legged animals. Normally animals have four legs. In modern day society, we have a new species called two-legged animals. Means those in a human form, but who are having the consciousness of animals. Let's continue the purport here. This is very important. The purpose of life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. Therefore, those who are too addicted to sense gratification are advised to practice the mystic yoga system or Ashtanga yoga system, consisting of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, and so on. In this way, one can control the senses. The purpose of controlling the senses is to stop one's implication in the cycle of birth and death, as stated by Rishabhadev. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya aprinoti na sadhu manye yato atmano yam asan api kleshada asadeha. And the translation is, when a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body. All of us, we have this material body. Actually, we don't need this material body. We should not have accepted this material body. There's a way that we can learn how to no longer accept the material body. That's actually the science of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies, one after another. This is from the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter number 4. Thus, according to Rishabhadev, the human being in this material world, or the human beings, are just like madmen engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. Such activities are not good, because in this way one creates another body for his next life as punishment for his nefarious activities. And as soon as he gets another material body, he is put into repeated suffering in material existence. Therefore, the Vedic culture or Brahminical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities of life. It's very important phrase here. Vedic culture or Brahminical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities of life. So in this last paragraph that I want to read now, Srila Prabhupada actually, just to refresh our mind, what I was trying to explain a few minutes ago, there are two levels. Dharma, isn't it? Dharma. Dharma is the most important thing for all of us to understand. Not only in theory, you know, not only the definition, but actually its application in everyday life. In this last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada will give us, I would say, a further insight, a deeper insight in terms of what is dharma. Only human beings can understand dharma. Animals cannot understand dharma. That is what makes the difference between a human being, us, and animals. Human being can take up practice of dharma. Animals cannot. So Prabhupada will speak about dharma here. This will take just a few minutes, please. Listen carefully, and then we'll try to comment a little bit on this. To teach this highest culture, Prabhupada was talking about culture, to teach this highest culture, means that it's called Atmagyan, isn't it? Atmagyan means the culture or the knowledge of the soul. So to teach this highest culture, Varnasrama Dharma is recommended. The aim of Varnasrama divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, is to learn one to control the senses and be content with the bare necessities. Two things. Actually, if one is not controlled in senses, he will never be satisfied with the bare necessities. If one is controlled in senses, whatever Krishna arranges, he'll be satisfied. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain. Here, Lord Vamanadeva, as an ideal brahmachari, refuses Bali Maharaj's offer to give him anything he might want. He says that without contentment, one could be happy even if he possessed the property. One could not be happy even if he possessed the property of the entire world or the entire universe. And this is the most important line that Prabhupada is giving here. In human society, therefore, the Brahminical culture, the Kshatriya culture, and the Vaishya culture must be maintained, and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern civilization, there is no such education. Everyone tries to possess more and more, and everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore, kindly listen attentively, we're just about ending the purport here, but Prabhupada is coming to conclusion, making a vital point connected with what we were mentioning earlier. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore establishing various farms, especially in America. Here we are in America, Seattle, to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization, which one can very easily achieve by chanting the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. End of the purport. I hope most of you were tuning in to the purport. So in a very nice way, very direct way, and if we analyze closely in a very scientific way as well, Srila Prabhupada is making the link here. He's making the connection between the spiritual Swadharma and the material Swadharma. Try to understand. Krishna consciousness, it is not simply, you know, something that we take up and perform when we come to the temple, when there's a festival. It is also not simply coming to the temple. It is not simply the what we call the devotional activities of Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, you know, the nine activities of bhakti. But dharma, swadharma on the other level, on the material level, is this very thing which we generally don't think about, and we normally don't have a natural attraction to that also. Prabhupada is talking up here about farms. For city people, farms is like, you know, far away. Not on their mind very much. Maybe we'll go to the farm and see on a weekend sometime and spend an hour or two and then come back to the city, right? Try to understand. Farm is actually, at least here in North America, farm as we know them, as they exist today, is meant to be, this is actually most important to understand, and people from India especially should understand this. We have a good audience of people, I think, from India. Farming communities are meant to be a stepping stone towards establishing village. Vedic culture is village life, primarily. We say in English, agrarian life. On one side, we have urban life. The city of Seattle is urban life. Haribo. So we call it urbanization, isn't it? And there is a global phenomenon. This is happening all over the world. More and more people are going to the cities. More and more people are becoming urbanized. That on one side, urbanization. And on the other side, there is village life, agrarian life. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that, actually, I don't have time. There's a wonderful conversation of Srila Prabhupada in Hawaii in 1975, where Srila Prabhupada explains how city life is Maya, with a capital M. If one is not cautious, city life will grab you. Why? Because city life, especially, one has unlimited opportunities for sense gratification. Have any of you noticed? I think we've all noticed, and possibly experienced as well. City life is there, actually. It's like, you know, for sense gratification. That's why Srila Prabhupada came to New York City, isn't it? New York City at that time, 1965, when Srila Prabhupada came, it was like the capital of sense gratification on the whole planet, practically speaking. So Srila Prabhupada, it's like Krishna when he goes in the mouth of the Agasura demon, you know. Prabhupada went in the city of New York. With this, you know, armed with Shastra, we were discussing on the way here how Shastra, there is Shastra and there is Astra. Shastra is a weapon for the Kshatriyas. They will protect and destroy the enemies with the weapons, usually a sword. But the Brahmanas, their Shastra is, I mean, their Astra, their weapon is actually Shastra. And we must know, we must understand what is Shastra. What is the essence of Shastra? Essence of Shastra is the science of Dharma. This science of Dharma is on these two levels. It means that actually, in simple English, that we can more easily be happy when we learn to harmonize our lives with Krishna's natural arrangement in society. It means that the more simple way to live, where we will not be constantly agitated by attractions, you know, of sense gratification, is that more simplified life in villages. Of course, now in America, we were discussing, right, how now you cannot see villages. Village in America, where's village? Practically, village concept practically destroyed. There used to be. Of course, in Asian countries, in India, in Indonesia, Cambodia still, maybe 90% or more of the population still live in village. Village life means where traditionally you grow your own food, you look after cows, you are in contact with the gifts of nature. Nature is Krishna's nature, isn't it? So this more simplified lifestyle is meant to help us actually more easily develop our Krishna consciousness. It is meant to help save time. Nowadays, isn't it? I think there's a... Somebody recorded Srila Prabhupada in many places. He would quote how in modern society, it's like the no-time society. I have no time. I have no time to talk to you. We have little time. Most devotees don't even have... We don't have time to chant Hare Krishna very often, isn't it? So we don't have time for the basics of life because of the lifestyle and the mode, passionate mode in which we're living. So Srila Prabhupada, we have this wonderful video. This evening we're not having time to show it, actually. It was either the video or, anyways, but I'm leaving the video with the devotee who's recording here, and maybe at some time. It's a 45-minute video, which is called Make Vrindavan Villages. And just like here, in this very wonderful temple, we immediately, in all of our temples, when we enter into a temple, that's why we come to a temple, we can sense the atmosphere, isn't it? The mood of Vrindavan. Because all of us, spiritual life means we are meant to return to that eternal abode of Vrindavan, and we are meant to create that atmosphere in our everyday life. And it begins actually here, like in a temple situation where the Lord is present, where everything here is actually meant for the pleasure and the satisfaction of the Lord. And as we understand this, we try to introduce that in our own homes, isn't it? In our own life, daily life. And in this way, wherever we are, isn't it? We create the atmosphere of Vrindavan. Prabhupada, on many occasions, he said, make Vrindavan. So one of the best ways to make Vrindavan, in addition to having temple, for example, is to have a living condition, living situation. Villages, actually, for that purpose. Where we are in contact with nature, especially we are in contact with cows, Krishna's cows, and we begin to understand how very, very important are cows. To have even one cow, just one cow present in one's home. Actually, previously people, it was unthinkable not to have cows. Everybody had cows. Not only one cow also. Like 10 cows, 15 cows, 30 cows. I spoke to families in India, they had up to 100 cows. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. So 100 cows is nothing. Cows are family members, part of the family. I keep sharing with people that I meet, devotees and others as well, how I think it was last year, the year before, I was visiting one village in the province of, in the state, rather, of Maharashtra. Was it Maharashtra or Andhra? I forget, one of the two. And in that village, every single house in the village, when you enter the house was quite big, on your left side as you entered the house was the living room. And on the right side was the Goshala. The cows were in the house. They were residents of the house. So actually in Canada, we're developing a community and I want to make my house like that. It's like cows are, as we know, after the living entity leaves the body of the cow, that living entity attains human form. That is the natural evolutionary cycle. It is said that actually brahmanas and cows belong to the same family. How is it that brahmanas and cows belong to the same family? They belong to the same family because both of them are in the mode of goodness. Isn't it? Brahmana is primarily the mode of goodness. It's cultivating spiritual life, transcendental knowledge. And he is actually three duties and responsibilities of brahmanas every day. Not only brahmanas, actually, that's why brahminical culture means, Prabhupada mentioned here in the purport, brahminical culture, kshatriya culture, and vaishya culture. What are the three activities? A little quiz, a little questionnaire for all of you here. Oh, careful. What are the three, what we call mandatory activities of brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas every single day? There are three things they are duty-bound to do. If you know one of them, raise your hand. But only mention one, not three, to give a chance to others. Yes?
Brahmanas teach.
No. It's close. No, in the sense that this is not the mandatory activity. Brahmanas should teach, but not all brahmanas teach. So again, there are opportunities for, yeah. Yes?
Vaishyas cow protection.
I'm sorry?
Vaishyas cow protection.
I heard cow protection in the first one? No, these are responsibilities of vaishyas. That's not what I'm looking for. Brahmanas, some brahmanas, they also look after cows, actually. Brahmanas also have cows. Everyone in the Vedic culture has cows, actually. Let's go to the lady side. Yes, just one. One of the three mandatory activities of brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas every day. Hey, consulting now. Consulting with the neighbor.
Swadharma?
Huh?
Swadharma. Following this, Swadharma.
Follow Swadharma? Swadharma. No, that's what I'm asking, actually. What is the specifics? Okay.
For Kshatriyas.
I'm asking for all the three. What is common to all the three? Every day, these three, what we call dvijas, they're all dvija, twice born. Brahmanas twice born, kshatriyas twice born, vaishyas twice born. Yes?
Do the sandhya
vandana. Huh?
Sandhya vandana.
That is there, but that's not what I'm looking for. Anyways, that's pretty cool. Right, one last, okay. Study, yes, study, every day. Every day, the brahmana should study, personal study. Kshatriya also should study. Many years ago, actually, when I was in Ottawa, Srila Prabhupada had come to visit, and he was supposed to stay for a few days. But all of a sudden, he got information that he had opportunity to meet at that time Indira Gandhi. And Srila Prabhupada had, you know, in the government, they come out all the time with 10-point program, you know, the 5-year program. Prabhupada had 10 points that he wanted to present, actually, to Indira Gandhi. And one of those 10 points was that every day, before the ministers go to parliament, they should attend Bhagavatam class. But somehow he never got to meet Indira Gandhi, and to this day the ministers are not attending Bhagavatam class. Anyways, study, very good. That is the first of the three that I'm looking for. Every day, brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, they must read and study actually shastra. Second thing, every day also, I'll just answer it just to move things along a little bit. Every day they must also worship, do personal worship of the deity. Normally brahmanas have like shaligram, shila, like that. And also, whenever it is possible, they should give in charity. These are the three mandatory activities of these three classes within society. Now, over and above this, a brahmana, having studied nicely the shastra, then he can teach. The teaching comes in now. Teaching is actually a specialized activity of brahmanas. Teaching, and then performing jagyas, and then also accepting in charity. Actually, only brahmana can accept in charity. Kshatriya cannot accept in charity. Vaishya can also not accept in charity. So like this, our Vedic culture, that is called Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture is where we understand the vital importance, necessity of keeping cows. What is the What is the meaning of cows? What is the utility? All auspiciousness is there when one has cow. The greatest gift that one can give is actually even one cow. There's so many wonderful stories actually in our Vedic literatures regarding the importance of cows, and as we all know, we are far from. So when we leave aside village life, village culture, agrarian life, it means we are leaving aside these values. It means we are just like practically all countries which are engaged in industrialization. People are selling away their land, selling away their cows, etc. This is not desirable. This is not good. Prabhupada explains in the purport how this actually is detrimental for our primary goal and purpose of life, which is so something which comes out very nicely here also is that this Vedic culture, you know, the different varnas and ashramas, they help one to regulate one's life. We become regulated. Our senses become regulated. Otherwise, our senses are totally out of control. So in this way, by regulating our senses, then we become purified, we can take the spiritual life, we can engage, and especially, another important point in the purport, we can learn. Only someone who is controlled in one's senses can he learn to be satisfied with what is called the bare necessities of life, or the minimum. Now everyone is striving for the maximum, isn't it? Just like, especially here in America, America is known as the land of plenty. And the goal of life is, what's the goal of life in America? Raise your hands. No one knows? Huh?
Happiness.
The goal of life in America is happiness, isn't it?
Money.
Happiness through money. American, what is the American dream?
Big houses.
In America, I think they call it the good life. Good life means nice house, nice car, nice family, nice children, nice bank balance, especially this. In the Vedic culture, this is in another purport, actually in the conversation, the conversation I was mentioning about Hawaii. I'll leave a few minutes actually for if there's any questions or comments. After explaining this last point, in that conversation in Hawaii, Srila Prabhupada explains how it was, even in some places now in India, it was a custom before that when a young man, when the family is looking for that young man to be married, isn't it? The parents of both the young girl and young man, they will start to visit one another, and then the parents of the young girl, they will go and see and ask, how many cows are there at home? Based on how many cows, based on how much of land you're cultivating, how much of grains you have, then we will give you my daughter. Otherwise not. Times have changed, right? But actually this is culture. This is actually culture. And we as a society, Krishna consciousness society, have a very major responsibility to actually understand this culture, maintain this culture, protect this culture, and live the culture. We cannot protect it, we cannot maintain it, unless we ourselves learn to live it. So, I was told that normally the class comes to a close around this time. I'm not sure exactly. I think 9 o'clock is the latest. It's one of the few places where there's a beautiful clock that I can see. You know, even without my glasses. It's very rare, so this is very, it's a wonderful temple, I must say. And all of you who are part of this community in Seattle are very fortunate, very blessed. You please take advantage of the wonderful opportunities that Krishna is giving you. And Krishna's arranging many wonderful ways in which you can become engaged. And this more recent development, you know, I was mentioning before the class, I spent about an hour actually with Hari Vilas Prabhu in the garden. You know, I didn't get my hands into it because I had to leave class. But he was right in action there. And gradually, as this develops, I invite all the members to visit to become involved in different ways as well. Oh, any questions or comments about what we have read, what we have said, or anything that may be on your mind? Keeping in mind that actually spiritual life is very important, that one should be inquisitive, isn't it? In order to understand about the absolute truth, what does Krishna say? Tad vidhi pranipatina pari prashnena sevaya upadakchanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. So prashna, question, at least one or two questions. Here's one coming up.
Maharaj, you mentioned about Vedic culture being the village lifestyle.
Vedic culture being?
The village lifestyle.
Agrarian lifestyle, village lifestyle, correct, yes.
And the purpose of human life is to realize Paramatma. And how does this village life help us to realize Paramatma?
Yes.
As opposed to...
Good question. I will repeat the question for those. Your voice is quite good, but mine is better on the microphone. So the question was that during the lecture we mentioned about village life or Vedic culture being primarily village life or agrarian life, and that this is meant to help us realize more about Paramatma, right? So actually, purpose of life is not only to realize about Paramatma, it's to go beyond that as well, you know, it's to realize Bhagavan, the source of Paramatma, means Krishna. Why is village life, why is agrarian life, especially meant to help us? Because actually village life is more in the mode of goodness. Village life, when there is proper guidance from local brahmana, when there is proper guidance and protection from local kshatriyas, and when there is proper understanding from Vaishyas, when these three we mentioned, right? The three activities they should perform every day, which is what Prabhupada directly explained in the purport, Brahmana culture, Kshatriya culture, Vaishya culture, when that is in place, everyone is moving more and more towards the mode of goodness. When one is in the mode of goodness, very easily, or at least more easily one can transcend that mode of goodness and go into what is good, what is called pure goodness, Sudha Sattva. Whereas in the city, as they are set up today, city is not in itself bad. In the Vedic culture, there were cities like Dwarka and Hastinapur, Indraprastha, like that, yes. But they were different than modern day cities. So modern day cities, because they are totally fixed in passion and ignorance, therefore they are not conducive for self-realization. Therefore, Krishna's plan, Krishna's system, is that for the vast majority of people in any community, in any country, vast majority of people should actually be depending on the land and on the cows should be growing their own food, should be self-sufficient. So the whole idea of self-sufficiency, sustainability. Chanaka Pandit, he explains, one will become happy if he does not have to travel far away every day to work. If our work is within walking distance, that actually is the ideal, number one. Secondly, we will be happy if we don't have any debts. If we throw away all our credit cards, Haribol. may not be possible in one day, but the idea is that Vedic culture does not encourage that we incur debts. Today, people are living in very nice homes, especially in America and other affluent countries. They have nice car, nice home, so many things, but actually they're full of anxiety because they have to pay so much at the end of the month. Whatever they get in salary, it goes to pay the debts that are there. So Vedic culture, that's the beauty of the Vedic culture. It is what we call very grounded, very practical. It is teaching us day-to-day activities, lifestyle. Means it is not simply some theory, some spiritual kind of thing that is undefinable and unattainable. That spiritual thing or level is there, and it is actually very clear. It's a science in itself, you know, the science of bhakti, the science of devotion, devotional service. But it is also very practical on the material level. We should live this simple lifestyle. We should learn to be satisfied with whatever Krishna arranges. We should learn to live with the minimum. But that will be possible only if we learn to control our senses. And we can learn to control our senses by taking up the basic practices of Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada ends his purport by underlining the importance of chanting the holy name, especially the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yeah? Okay. Any other question? Yes, Hare Krishna. Question, comment before we close up? We have permission to close? Okay. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Samasta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Gaura Pimanandi. Have you done the pen drive thing? Doing it, eh? Don't copy the whole thing, eh? Just those. Yeah, those two videos. Eh? One is Make Vrindavan Village, and the other one about Kshatriya Dharma. Hey, boy. Hey.